Welcome, wonderful people of God. We just wish you a very happy Sunday morning. We are so glad to be able to join together with the family of God this morning to worship and to honor the Lord. And if you're tuning in with us today, just say hi and let us know how you're doing. We want to engage with you. We want to hear from you. If this is your first time tuning in today, just type in the comments first time and let us know where you're listening from. Whether you're in another state or another country, we just kind of want to get to know you a tiny bit better. So just tell us that it's your first time and where you're tuning in from. And we just welcome you this morning. We welcome everybody that's joining us for worship today. And we encourage everyone to share our live stream right now. Just take this opportunity to hit that share button and share to your social media so that your friends and family can join us in worship and in the Word this morning. And they too can have an opportunity to hear the hope that is ours through Jesus Christ. And better yet, if you're on Facebook, start a watch party, because that'll automatically notify all of your Facebook friends that you are having the special watch party, and they can jump in and you can interact together with them. So we just encourage you to be a social media evangelist by sharing the live stream right now and inviting your friends and family to join together with you. We're so glad that you're gathering together with us this morning for our live stream worship service. And we're going to open this morning from Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2, and the psalmist says, I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And as we praise and worship the Lord this morning, we are lifting up our eyes from our circumstances, and we are choosing to place our trust in the Lord. He is our help. And the psalmist says he's the maker of heaven and earth. So if he created everything that is, the psalmist is saying, there's nothing that he can't do. He's able to help us no matter how great our situation, our problem, or our need. So let's focus our minds and our hearts on the Lord today as we lift up our voices in worship. You lift your voice in praise to the Lord right where you are. And we're going to pray right now and invite God's presence to come and move in our lives and in our hearts. So you pray together with me as I lead us out in prayer this morning. Our loving Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We lift up our eyes to you because you are our help, Lord God. All of our hope is in you. We focus our minds and our hearts upon you because you are the Lord God, great and mighty, and there is nothing that you cannot do. We thank you for your great love towards us. We thank you that you are our help in all things. We trust ourselves to you this morning. As we worship you, we invite you now to come and fill our lives and our homes with your presence. We surrender ourselves to you. We ask you to have your way in us today. Let your will be done in our lives, even as it is in heaven. May each person joining us this day encounter you in a life-changing way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're glad to have a small portion of our worship team here today with us to lead us in worship. So would you lift your voices together with us and worship the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's worship our King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. And let's declare that Jesus rule and reign over our lives, over every situation. And he is worthy to receive all the praise this morning. We celebrate the goodness of the Lord in our lives. We celebrate and we thank him for everything that he's doing in our lives, even in the midst of the storm. Jesus is healing. Jesus is providing. And he's making a way where there seems to be no way. Let's give God all the glory this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Declaring the word of the Lord, and There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Let's
no
declare
God
that
like
this
Jehovah.
Morning. There's no God.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 There's no God like Jehovah.
Salvation is from the Lord. And this morning I want us to declare that our God is awesome. He's awesome. He's faithful. Faithful to His word. Faithful to His promises. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's peace. He's victory. He's breakthrough. So this morning I want us all to lift our voices right where you are. And declare with us this morning, my God is awesome. Jesus is awesome. Worthy to be praised forever. Hallelujah. There is no other God like my God. What other God can save? What other God can heal? What other God can give us victory? No other. There is no other God like Jesus. Hallelujah.
My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome, heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened, forever He will reign. My God is awesome.
Your voice and declare that this morning.
Awesome.
Shout it out, shout it out. My God is awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, let's shout it out, people of God. My God.
My God is awesome.
There is no other God like Jesus.
Awesome.
Worthy to be praised forever.
He's awesome. Awesome.
Sing it out, sing it out.
My God is awesome. Savior of the whole world, giver of salvation, by His stripes I am healed. My God is awesome, today I am forgiven, His grace is why I'm living, praise His holy name. My God is awesome.
Say that together. Let's make that
He's
declaration
awesome.
Together as the people of God.
Thank you.
worship him this morning.
Awesome.
He's a good God.
Awesome.
Oh, he has blessings in store for you.
Of God into your home, into your place. As you worship, you're breaking down chains and bondages. You're defeating the work of the devil. As we worship, there is power in worship. There is breakthrough in worship. There is healing in worship. Hallelujah. Worship is what attracts the presence of God, the glory of God in our lives. And He is worthy to receive your worship today. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We wait on you, Holy Spirit. Tell him right where you are, Jesus, I love you. You are the lover of my soul. You are my Prince of Peace. You are my first love and my trust. And my hope is in you, Jesus. It's in your word. Because I know that you are a good God. I know that you will do what you said you will do. No matter what I see, no matter what I'm here, I am not going to be moved. I'm going to remain standing firm in your word because I know that you are good and you are faithful to do what you say in your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
The King of my heart. song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song.
Let's say it all together. You are good.
You are good.
This morning, join us in the worship.
Oh, you are good.
Give Him praise this morning. Lift your voice and say, you are good. Let faith flow through your soul right now as you worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, chains are coming down. Bondage is coming down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, you are good. Yes, we rebuke fear this morning and anxiety. We rebuke worry in the name of Jesus as we declare that we have a good God that is going to take care of us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you this morning, Lord. You are good. And you delight to do good towards all who seek you. You delight to heal, to deliver, to help, to bless, and to answer the cry of your children, Lord God. We exalt your name today, Lord God. Worship you. We place our trust in you, for your word says that you will never disappoint those who trust in you, Lord God. You will never let us down. Hallelujah to your name. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. As we continue to worship the Lord, we're going to go before him in prayer. And if you have a need in your life, would you just indicate by an upraised hand right now and let us just agree together in prayer with you. As you stretch your hand out towards heaven, it's just a sign of faith that you are looking to the Lord, that you are trusting in him as your help. And we're going to agree together in prayer with you. Just lift your voice right where you are. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just love you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you invite us to come and cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us, Lord God. And so we bring every worry, every anxiety, every burden, every need, and we cast it upon you, Lord God. Father, we're believing you right now for every person who is sick that is tuning in right now, Lord God, that you would just stretch forth your hand of healing towards them, Lord God. Release your virtue into their body. Lord, your word says that you are the God who heals all of our diseases. There is no limitation to your healing power. You heal cancer, you heal diabetes, you heal heart disease, you heal coronavirus, you heal all manner of sickness and disease, Lord God. And we are trusting you right now to be healer to your people. However you choose to heal, Lord God, whatever means you choose to use. Father, we lift before you all of those who are struggling financially, Lord God, those that need jobs, Lord. Father, we believe that you are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, who will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. We pray that you would stretch forth your hand of provision right now and that you would make a way for your people, supply their needs. For those in need of jobs, open doors before them, Lord God. Bless them with a job in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for those that are facing situations that seem impossible, but we know that you're a God of breakthrough. We know that you're a God for whom nothing is impossible. So, Father, stretch forth your mighty hand towards them right now and intervene on their behalf. Father, for those that are heavy burdened this morning, those that are struggling with anxiety or fear or depression, Lord God, Father, we just declare the release of your grace into their life right now. We declare the release of your peace, of your joy, of your hope, Lord God, into their hearts right now. Minister, Lord God, break those chains of anxiety. Break those chains of depression right now. Set your people free, Lord God, that they might trust in you, that they might rejoice in you once again, that they might have peace in you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're a good God, that you care about everything that concerns us, and that you hear every cry this morning. And we believe that because you've heard us, we have the very things for which we've asked. As we ask all of these things in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, we give you all of the praise and all of the glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, worship team. Once again, we just want to welcome everybody who's joining us. Some might have joined after we initially began, so we want to welcome you. If you're a first-time guest, just write first time and let us know where you're listening from. And we're just so glad to be able to gather together with all of you, because now more than ever, we need the encouragement that the worship of the Lord together and the Word brings into our life and the connection and support of the family of God. And we just want to keep you informed and updated on what's going on and how we can remain spiritually connected during these trying times. We want to remind you that our Ministry Institute is going to be resuming classes for the fall semester coming up the first Thursday night in September, which is September 3rd at 7 p.m. We offer two classes per semester. This semester we're offering intermediate ministry internship, which is a practical ministry class dealing with the heart of ministry and some of the practical aspects of ministry. The other class we're offering is eschatology, which is the study of end times. So very exciting class. Very pertinent class, because I believe we are living in the end times. These classes are offered in conjunction with Global University of the Assemblies of God. The cost is $88 per course, and for first-time students, there's a one-time $30 fee and a registration form that must be filled out. That's something that is required by Global University, and the $30 is for Global University as well to register you as a student in their program. These classes will be offered by video conference only. Everything will be done online. You can enroll online, you can pay online, and your final exam will be done online as well. And to enroll for these classes, just go to our website, nl-fl.org, and click the Connect tab across the top menu. And when the drop-down menu comes up, just click Ministry Institute, and everything is explained for you right there. You can enroll online, pay online, and ultimately you will take your final exam online as well. We also want to remind everybody that we are live streaming several times a week to be able to continue ministering to the body of Christ and to you. And of course, we're live streaming on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., which you're tuning into our 11 a.m. service right now. On Sunday evenings, Pastor Anna and Joyce, one of our worship leaders, does a time of intimate prayer and worship from the home at 6:30 p.m. On Wednesdays, our pastoral staff leads a time in worship, the Word, and corporate prayer. And then on Thursday evenings, Pastor Anna and some of our worship team members does another time of worship and prayer at 7:30 p.m. So every time that we go live, we encourage you to join in so that our souls can be refreshed and uplifted in the Lord. And of course, we're live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and also on our church website. And later on, it's uploaded to Vimeo and as a podcast, which is available on Podbean and also Apple Podcasts. And we're doing this so that we can just maximize the reach of the gospel to as many people as possible and give them different points of access. So just like and follow the New Life Assembly Facebook page, and you'll be notified the moment that we go live, and we'll be able to you'll be able to tune in. And keep checking our Facebook page, because we give information and updates on our Facebook page. We also post every day inspirational and encouraging posts as well. So just like and follow our Facebook page. And if you're on YouTube, of course, subscribe to our YouTube page so that you can be notified when we go live on YouTube. We also want to remind you we have children's ministry on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. So if you've got kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, neighbors, friends, whoever, and they would like access to our children's service online, then of course just contact our church office. We'll be glad to get you the Zoom access information. We have other ministries online as well. Our girls ministry is online on Wednesday afternoons and Thursday afternoons. That's the girls ministry, formerly known as Missionettes. We have that online. We have youth and young adults also available online with Pastor Chris by Zoom meeting. We have life groups on Zoom. We have men's ministry on Zoom. Almost all of our ministries have gone virtual. And so if you'd like access to any of our ministries, we encourage you to just contact our church office either by email, churchoffice@nl-fl.org, or call us at 954-981-6405 and tell us which ministry you'd like access to. And we'll be glad to get that information for you. So, you know, with all of our ministries continuing to function, we are working hard to continue to fulfill God's mission for our church and God's vision for our church to be a church not contained within walls. And of course, we want you to know that we love you and we miss the wonderful and warm fellowship of the family of God. And we are praying and believing that we will soon be able to be back together again with you. But in the meantime, we are here to minister to you. And once again, if you have any prayer requests, feel free to leave them in the comments. We do go over them after the service and pray for them. Or call our church office or email us. And even though we're working from home, messages are checked regularly. And if you have a prayer need, it will be placed with a prayer team that will be interceding together for you. At this time, we want to encourage you to worship the Lord with our giving. And we're just going to share a passage of scripture as the fuel to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving. Reading from Philippians 4, verses 10 through 15. This is Paul writing. And he says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this." You know, at this point, you know, Paul was a minister. He was a missionary, and he depended on God for his every need. And in his missionary travels, he sometimes had to work as a tent maker to provide for his needs. At other times, he suffered hunger and deprivation. Sometimes he went through difficult times, but he never complained. He was content to minister under any circumstances, regardless of what provision he had or did not have, but he just trusted Christ to be his strength in all things. But what we see here from this passage is that God uses his people to support and bless ministry, to bless ministers. That's God's plan, and the Philippian church was faithful to give to support Paul's ministry from the very beginning when he first brought the good news to them and planted the church there at Philippi, and they continued to support his ministry time and again when he moved on to minister in other places. And had it not been for the church at Philippi, Paul would have had a much more difficult time in many circumstances, and the ministry would likely have been hindered. And some may say, well, other churches should have helped as well. Well, they should have, but the fact was, Paul says, they didn't. So this passage provokes two questions. Do you consider your giving important, or are you depending on others to carry the load? And secondly, if everyone gave like you do, would the ministry of the church be able to continue? Those are two very important questions, and the church can only continue to minister as it has support to do so. And like Paul, we're very grateful for all of you who are faithfully giving to support the work of the church. We could not continue to minister if it were not for you, and we know that God will bless you for your faithfulness. So we give today with the knowledge that our giving is important. It's essential because it means that God has ordained you to give for the ministry to be supported. That's the plan that God has established in his word. And we have a part in every life. As you give, you're having a part in every life that is being touched and ministered to and saved, and God is going to reward you accordingly. So let's worship the Lord with our giving. I worship the Lord with my giving by text. Just before the service this morning, I gave my tithes. I gave special offerings. It's quick. It's easy. It's safe. I just saved the text giving number to my phone, 954-516-1522. Do that right now. And then it'll be available quickly whenever you need it. You just go into your text app and pull up that phone number, and you can text any amount. If you're giving $25, just text 25, $50, 50, $1,000,000, one followed by zeros. Well, amen. You get the picture anyway. Amen. Just wanted to see if you were awake. But anyway, you text the amount. If it's your first time giving, you're going to be sent a link. Click on that link and just fill in your name and payment information. After that, Purpose Gateway will save your information, and it will be very easy for you to give in the future. You'll not have to enter that again. If you're giving other than tithes and offerings, then you can follow the amount by the word building. If you're giving to the building fund, or if you're giving to missions, text the amount followed by the word missions, and that way it will be credited to the appropriate funds. If you're not comfortable with text giving, then you are welcome to go online and give online at nl-fl.org. Just click the Give tab, and your options for online giving will be listed there. You can give through Purpose Gateway, which is the same online platform for our text giving, or you can give through PayPal, whichever is more convenient for you. And if you're not comfortable with electronic giving, then of course you're always welcome, as some do, to mail your offerings into the church. And the information for text giving and online giving is right there on your screen. So right now, as you lift up your phone to the Lord, if you're giving by text or touch your tablet or your computer or lift your offering to the Lord, we're going to declare by faith the promises of God over our life. So would you lift your voice together with me? Lord, today I worship you by bringing the tithe and the offering in obedience to your word, in honor of your lordship, in gratitude for your blessings, and with faith in your promises. I declare an open heavens and overflowing blessing in my life. I declare that you will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. You will cause blessings to chase me down and overtake me. You will bless me in whatever I do and wherever I go. You will replace my lack with abundance. You will command your blessings upon my finances and upon my job. And you will make me a lender and not a borrower. You will cause me to succeed and not to fail. You will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And I declare that as I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you for your faithfulness and generosity in giving. We appreciate it, and I know that God will bless you for it. Take this opportunity to give as our worship team comes back now to lead us in another song of worship. Seated upon the throne of heaven, and you rule and reign over all things, Lord God. You are in complete control, and we can trust you because you love us and you are faithful, Lord God. We worship and exalt your name. We pray now that you would just anoint our hearts and our minds to receive your word, and that your Holy Spirit would have your way in our lives. May we be changed by this time in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. We love and appreciate you. If you'll take your scriptures in hand, we're going to be looking at two passages of scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. We're continuing our series Now for Eternity, an end time series, and today's message is titled Edify One Another. Edify One Another. I read an article published on March 16th when this whole coronavirus crisis first started to unfold. And it was titled, World Health Organization Urges Worldwide Solidarity Against Coronavirus. And the article stated, we are all in this together and we can only succeed together. And the point was that if everybody worked together, if everybody wore masks, if everybody social distanced and did the other things that were necessary, that we could bring this pandemic under control. And of course, we have seen that very effective in other countries where people on a wide scale have adopted these practices. They have been able to bring the infection rate very low, and they've been able to open up their businesses and their schools very successfully because together we can make a difference. And there have also been numerous public service ads on TV saying we're in this together, assuring viewers that they're not alone, and it's really addressing the health crisis, the mental health crisis that has emerged out of this pandemic. There's been a widespread recognition of the fact that now more than ever, people need assurance and they need the support of community to make it through this difficult time. And you know, we as a church, we're a part of an online or evangelistic organization that produces videos on relevant topics and sends responses. When anybody watches those videos and responds, those responses are sent to churches all across our nation within 30 miles of the location of the individual that responded. And so we participate in this. And during the coronavirus, we have seen such an increase in responses of people feeling lonely, depressed, and anxious. And many of them, when they type their response, they say, I'm all alone. I have no one to talk to. And I thought how difficult that must be. Because thankfully, you know, we have the family of God as a body of Christ. We have one another. And even if we're not able to gather together, we can still connect in online services. We can still join together in life groups and other ministry platforms that are taking place online, whether it's a prayer conference call or a Zoom meeting or whatever it might be. And so we still have that connection. We have that support. We have that love. We have that encouragement. And that's a great blessing. We also have a leadership group on WhatsApp, and it's been wonderful when someone has had a need that we can just make that need known to our leaders, and everyone rallies to pray for one another. And we saw that so beautifully, especially when Josie was going through her battle with COVID-19, our children's director, and we put that up on the WhatsApp, and everybody was typing their prayers and assuring Josie that they were interceding for her, and we've done that for many others. We did that when Olga lost her husband, and when Evelyn's husband passed, and various different ones that have been battling in different respects. And so we have this wonderful blessing of the body of Christ. And a recurring message of the New Testament is the importance of the church, the importance of the fellowship of believers. You know, in Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When Jesus said, I'll build my church, he was not talking about a building. He was talking about the worldwide body of believers. He was building a people that he would inhabit by his spirit. We too often think of the church as a place where we assemble or where we gather, but the real church is not a building. It's the people of God, as we have been so clearly reminded through the months that we could not gather in our building. And so when Jesus says, I will build my church, he's building a people to be his house or his dwelling place among whom he can make his presence known to the world. And Jesus says, I will build my church, but we too have a responsibility to build his church together with him. Read with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 10. The scripture says, for we are God's fellow workers. Some versions say partners. Isn't that wonderful that God has chosen to partner together with us? So we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. God's building. By the grace of God given to me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. And in this passage, we see that God has chosen us to partner together with him in the work of building his house, building his people, building his church. God has called us to be partners together with him in this great work of building his church all around the world. And there are two ways in which we build the church or edify the body. The word edify means to build. And we build it externally through evangelism as we continue to reach out and witness, and more souls are brought into the kingdom. They are added to the church. And we build it internally by strengthening, encouraging, and ministering to the members of the body so that they have the strength to serve God in a world that is hostile to their faith and opposes their commitment to Christ. And throughout the New Testament, the Lord reminds us repeatedly of our calling to partner together with him in this great work of building his church. Paul tells us this again in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, that it's even more critical that we work to build the church as we approach the end of the age. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul is speaking about the end of the age and the coming judgment. And in verse 11, he says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing." The word build, as I mentioned earlier, is also translated as the word edify, and it means to build. And the implication is that as the end approaches, it will be even more critical that we encourage and we build one another up. This is a truth that is echoed in Hebrews 10, verse 25, where the writer says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Saying, you know, as we come nearer to the end, we're going to need the encouragement of the body of Christ more than ever. So this responsibility to encourage and build one another up is even more critical for us as we are living in the end of the age, and the return of Christ is much closer to our time than it was when these New Testament writers first wrote. Why? Why do we need this added encouragement? Because of the spirit of the end of the age. In 2 Timothy 3:1 through 4, Paul warns that the end times will be perilous or dangerous times. They're going to be very difficult times. Jesus says in Luke 21:26 that as the end approaches, people will be terrified by what they see coming on the earth. Another version says people will begin, their hearts will begin to fail them for fear or anxiety. And we see that even happening with this coronavirus. Psychologists are telling us how much people are seeking help in increased numbers for anxiety and for depression. And so we already see that impact on the mental health of individuals. We need to understand that these are signs that are unfolding, that the end of the age is drawing near, and it's even more essential for Christians to encourage one another and build one another up in these days. We need the church, the fellowship of the saints, now more than ever. We need to understand God's call to partner with him in this great work of building up his church and why it's absolutely critical for our spiritual strength and endurance to the end. First, we need each other all the more as the end approaches. We need to be vitally connected to the body of Christ. Do you know the top reason why people come to church? It's not the preaching of the word, as much as they might like the preacher. It's not the music, as beautiful as the music might be. Because, to be honest, they can watch any big name preacher online now at any time they choose. They can watch the best musical groups, Christian musical groups leading worship from all around the world, just at the click of a button on their computer. So those are not the top reasons that people come to church, but the top reason that people come to church is community. It's relationship. It's belonging. It's connecting with other people that are also on that same faith journey. And surveys even show that the top reason that people volunteer to serve in ministry is not first and foremost because they want to do something great for the kingdom of God, even though I'm sure that that is a motivating factor. But research shows the number one reason people volunteer to serve in ministry is a desire to relationally connect with a team of people who are serving together. That's why, you know, as a leader, it's important for us not just to get people plugged in and doing the work, but also to be ministering to them and connecting. And that's why our different groups, you know, they have social gatherings and what have you, especially when we're able to meet, to be able to connect one another and provide that fellowship for one another. The bottom line is that we need each other. God never intended for the Christian life to be a solo act. One commentator asserted that he would argue that it is impossible to live the Christian life without the support of brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a powerful statement. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a 29-year-old pastor in Nazi Germany who was eventually executed for his opposition to Hitler. And he wrote the Christian classic, Life Together. He also wrote another classic, very well known, called The Cost of Discipleship. But in this particular book, Life Together, he speaks of the necessity, the privilege, and the blessing of Christian fellowship. And the book is so relevant today because it was written in a time when many churches and seminaries were closed by the Nazis due to their opposition to Hitler. So Christians were not allowed to gather. They had to find ways to stay connected in a sort of underground church in hiding. But this is so relevant for us because circumstances may be different, but in many ways we are not able to gather today because of COVID-19. But Bonhoeffer writes, the physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. Wow, the blessing of the body of Christ. It's a source of incomparable joy and strength for the believer. He goes on to say, it is true, of course, that what is an unspeakable gift for the lonely individual is easily disregarded and trodden underfoot by those who have the gift every day. Basically, if we have the opportunity to go to church all the time, we tend to take it for granted. Until we no longer have that privilege, then it becomes all important to us. I remember I went on a missions trip. I was ministering in Asia and in Cambodia. I did a conference for our missionaries in that area, and I remember speaking to one of them after the service that lived in northern Cambodia, and they were 6.5 hours away from the nearest Christian because it's a widely non-Christian nation. And so after the service, they spoke to me and said, you don't know what it is when you're going through something, that there is not another believer that you can call and say, please pray for me. The closest believer, they said, was 6.5 hours away from them. And so, you know, we take for granted this wonderful privilege, this wonderful blessing of being a part of the family of God when we're able to meet, you know, all the time. But now, we don't have that blessing. We don't have that opportunity to meet in person, even though, thankfully, we still have the opportunity to be able to connect online. And that's a source of great joy and encouragement for all of us. But Bonhoeffer goes on to say, among earnest Christians in the church today, there's a growing desire to meet together with other Christians in the rest periods of their work for common life under the word. So in Nazi Germany, the fact that churches couldn't meet meant that Christians began to desire all the more and long for the opportunity to be able to meet. And he goes on to say, communal life is again being recognized by Christians today as the grace that it is, as the extraordinary, the roses and lilies of the Christian life. Wow, isn't that beautiful? He said, you know, now that we can't meet, people are beginning to recognize what a wonderful gift it is to be able to be a part of the church. That the church is actually the roses and the lilies of the Christian life. That which beautifies and gives joy to the Christian life. And you know, that is so pertinent because right now, I believe that's one of the things that is happening due to the church not being able to meet in person through this coronavirus. The fact that we cannot meet in person, I believe, is making us long all the more to be able to meet. And it's causing us to realize all the more what a blessing and what a privilege the body of Christ really is. Something that maybe we took for granted. Oh, you know, we can come when we want to and not come when we don't want to because we assumed that it would always be there. But now that we can't come, I believe many are realizing what a wonderful gift of grace the body of Christ is. We also have a responsibility to connect relationally in the body. See, being a part of a church is not just attending a service. It's engaging in relationships. It's about being ministered to and ministering to one another. It's being a part of a community of believers. We were on a Zoom call with our leaders about 3 months ago, after this whole shutdown had taken place. We were weeks in, and one of our leaders shared how she had called someone in the church, and the person was so appreciative and said that her children had just asked her if anyone had called from the church, and then suddenly that call came in, and what an encouragement it was to her. I called someone a couple weeks ago, and they picked up the phone, because I try to make a few phone calls every week, and the Lord had just laid this individual on my heart, and I called them, and they said, "Oh, Pastor Maria, I wanted so much to talk to you," and they began to explain something that was going on in their family and how much they needed prayer, for that. And so, just a simple thing as a phone call can bring such encouragement, such uplift, such joy to someone's heart. And I know that many of our ministry leaders have been working hard to stay connected to their teams of leaders and also to the people that they minister to that have been entrusted to their care. I know our Deacon Ministry has been calling the families that have been entrusted to their care, and I know that our pastoral staff and other staff have been making phone calls to our church body to just reach out and encourage and pray for one another. But even with that, still, this one lady I told the story about, she had slipped through the cracks in those early weeks of the shutdown, and I don't know who that person is, or I don't know what their level of involvement in the church. And unfortunately, some of the phone numbers that we have in our computer system for our church body, they're outdated. I call them and they say disconnected, no longer available, whatever. So, if you've changed your phone number, please contact us and give us an updated phone number so that we can reach out to you, so that we can stay connected with you. But I do know that for those who are connected in ministry groups and life groups in the church, they've been meeting together on a regular basis, whether it's through Zoom or phone conference. I know, for instance, our senior ministry gathers by phone conference every Wednesday morning, and they talk together and they pray for one another. Our evangelism ministry, our prayer ministry, they gather together on a weekly basis and they pray together on Zoom conference calls and phone conference calls, and they're just uplifting one another and encouraging one another in the Lord. So those that are connected to the body of Christ, then they're definitely having that blessing, that gift of the encouragement of one another and the opportunity to be able to build one another up, because it's a two-way street. We receive and we give. And I've heard time and again how much that has meant to these individuals during these very anxious and uncertain times. Let me ask you a question. Can you name at least three close friends in church that you can call on and trust to pray for you, that will be there to listen to you, that will be there to encourage you, and you likewise for them? If not, I want to encourage you to take some steps to get connected. Join one of these online groups, get connected. And something else you can do is, we're used to all those handshakes and hugs that we would normally do when we were meeting in person. Well, for every handshake or hug that you used to get when you came to church, call that person during the week. Give them a phone hug. Speak to them. Talk to them. Connect with them. Encourage them. And that way you can stay connected with one another. In Dietrich Bonhoeffer's time, they had to fight, risking their lives to be able to meet together and stay connected. And it took great effort and risk on their part to be able to have those supported and encouraging relationships with fellow believers. Sometimes, he said, they would take a walk in the woods and they would meet in hiding in some remote place, and they would sing a song and they would just read a scripture together and pray. But they took these measures. They knew if they caught, there would be severe consequences. But they took these measures, risking their lives, because they needed and valued the fellowship of believers. They needed the body of Christ. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, then I pray that we will come out of this time of social separation yearning for life together in the body of Christ, valuing the privilege and the blessing of being a part of the body of Christ and doing everything that we can to participate in the life of his body. Something else I see from these passages is that we help each other to be able to endure faithfully to the end. Paul says, as the end approaches, we need to encourage each other and build each other up. Why? Because when hard times come, it's very stressful. It's very discouraging for many, as we're seeing. It's causing many people to go through anxiety and fear and worry, and it's a very difficult time. So we need to be able to encourage one another. And in Hebrews 10:25, he says, let us not neglect our meeting together. Of course, we can't meet in person, but we can meet through all of these means I've been describing. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but let us encourage one another. There it is there again. Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And what these passages are telling us is that we need each other all the more as the end approaches. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul writes, the last days will be very difficult times. I believe we're already beginning to see that. And if you think the coronavirus crisis is difficult, I don't want to burst your bubble, but buckle your seatbelt. Because Jesus said that wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, and pestilence, such as the coronavirus, would be signs of the end times. And he says these will only be the beginning of birth pains with more to come. You know how birth pains increase with intensity and frequency? That's what Jesus is saying. This is just the beginning of sorrows. But they're going to increase with frequency and intensity the closer that we come to the return of Jesus. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus said, lawlessness will prevail in the end time. And that scripture came to mind when I saw in Seattle beginning in June how protesters forced the police out of a 6-block area, declaring the area to be a police-free zone and taking over the police precinct there. And I understand, and I'm not denouncing the fact that there are valid reasons for which many were protesting. And there is no doubt need for change in our society because racism is still very prevalent. But there was a lawlessness, even though not by the majority of protesters, but groups within those protests that burnt police cars, broke into businesses, and looted. I was even hearing a news report that there are businesses in downtown Chicago because the protests and these lawless activities of looting and breaking into businesses has continued, that some of those businesses are having to close and even move out of the area due to this continued lawlessness that is taking place. And you could see that lawless spirit in crowds as they shouted for police to be completely defunded or disbanded, or they pulled down and defaced statues, regardless of who the statue was, they were just pulling it down. And there is a lawlessness when people were being asked to wear masks, yet they're asserting, it's my right not to wear a mask, that is my personal health decision. My thought is, it's not your personal health decision when it affects my health. Okay, when you drive on the streets, there are laws that govern your driving on the street. And your right to drive wherever you want ends where my bumper begins. You can't hit my car and say, I have the right to drive wherever I go. That's why there's laws on the street to protect one another. And that's why there is that mask mandate in many areas. And there's an encouragement to everybody because what you do affects everybody else's health. But that's just an extra sermon. There's no extra charge. But the Bible does teach us to love one another. And a way of loving one another is to protect one another with something that is just a simple $2 or $3 mask that we could protect and potentially save somebody's life. But you can say amen or oh me, but whatever you feel, you got to love me if you want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But there's a lawlessness when people were with the mask. There's a lawlessness with people protesting stay-at-home orders, saying the government doesn't have any right to shut us down. I mean, right here in Sunrise, there's a gym owner that refuses to have his clients wear masks when they work out in the gym, and he's already been arrested 3 times, and he's suing the county and all of these things. Just lawlessness everywhere. People are so obsessed with their personal rights. They don't want anyone telling them what to do. I saw a news report in a Walmart just a few days ago where one customer asked the other customer to put a mask on, and the guy without the mask pulled a gun. I mean, that is a spirit of lawlessness in our society. And the Bible tells us, unfortunately, that these things are only going to increase and grow worse the nearer we come to the end. And you can see where that is going to cause fear and anxiety and discouragement in the hearts of people. Matthew 24:8, Jesus said, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers, and many will turn away from me. He's saying, you know what? There's going to be increased persecution against the church, you know, and that's something that we really have to keep an eye out on, various, you know, political groups and what have you that want to limit the rights of churches, the rights of churches to speak forth the truth. They want to label, if we preach against certain sins, they want to label it as hate speech and put the church in jeopardy of losing its status in society and having the pastors arrested. And, you know, we have to be attuned to this and to these issues that affect the church and the kingdom of God in politics and in society as a whole. We have to be aware of these things. And so we're already seeing increased hostility and persecution of Christianity, even here in the United States, in social attitudes, in laws passed in our country that impact the freedom of worship, the freedom of the church to be able to preach the word of God. And the end times are going to be very difficult for everyone, but especially for Christians. And some, the Bible says, are going to fall away from the faith. But the means that God has established for us to be able to endure to the end and be saved is the church, the family of God, the body of Christ. I know that even through this coronavirus crisis, I look forward to the times of our live stream services, just to be able to gather together with you and see your comments and online and to encourage one another and pray for one another. It's refreshing. It's strengthening. A Zoom meeting with our leaders or our staff or a phone call with our brother and sister in Christ. These are treasured. They're such a blessing just to be able to connect in these ways. And as the end approaches, we're going to need this all the more, the Bible says. And woe to him who is alone during these difficult times. We need to encourage and edify one another all the more as the end nears. We need to be intentional about it. We can encourage one another by making a phone call to someone in our church family, by listening as they share what is burdening them, whatever is making them anxious, or by saying, you know what, before we end this call, can I just pray for you? You know, something just simple like that can make such a difference to encourage someone's heart. Praying with someone is one of the greatest acts of love that you can do for them, and it brings great comfort and hope to their heart. In Proverbs 12:25, the scripture says, anxiety or worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. There's a lot of things to be anxious and worried about in our world right now, and it's going to get increasingly so. But we have the power, just with an encouraging word, to uplift the spirit of others. There are very anxious times, and we need to find ways to speak words of encouragement to one another, to lift one another up, to build one another up in the Lord. And the primary vehicle of encouragement, the Bible says here, is our words. Words can speak life. They can speak peace. They can speak hope into a person's soul that is anxious, downcast, or burdened. We need to be there for one another. We need to participate in the fellowship of believers now more than ever. I want to encourage you, the same way that every week I'm trying to make a few phone calls to different people in the church, make a commitment. Say, you know what? Every week I'm going to call 3 people, or I'm going to call 5 people, however many you're able, and just reach out to one another. Just chit chat, just encourage one another. Just before you end the call, say, can I pray for you? Or you can say, let's pray for one another, whatever it might be. But be intentional about reaching out so that we can encourage one another. You never know what a person is going through. You never know that they may not have someone else to speak to, and you can be that lifeline of God's Spirit into their life. You know, just as the fellowship of faith became so vital to Dietrich Bonhoeffer and other Christians in Nazi Germany during those very dark times, and it caused them to seek out even hiding and risking their life for the opportunity to meet, we ought to value the blessing and the privilege of being a part of the family of God and not neglect our fellowship together even if it's online for a time, even if it's by phone, even if we can't be in person, but let's not neglect that fellowshipping together, that sharing of our life. That's what the word fellowship means. It means to share our life together. And so let's not neglect that sharing of our life together. Let's do everything in our power to stay connected to the body of Christ and to encourage and build one another up in the Lord. We need to make every effort to build up and encourage one another by expressing God's love through building relationships in the body of Christ, by being intentional to connect, by being intentional to reach out, to make a phone call, by being intentional to pray for one another, by speaking an encouraging word and using the ministry gifts that God has given you to bless others. So often we think, well, I'm going through so much right now. I can't think about anyone else. The amazing thing is that while you are busy encouraging and building someone else up, you find that your own life is being encouraged, is being built up, is being blessed, because that's how the wise master builder has planned it, that you get blessed by being a blessing to others. We need each other all the more during these difficult days ahead. So let's do everything that we can to stay connected and to encourage and build one another up. Let's value the blessing and the privilege of being a part of the family of God, being an integral part of the family of God, and encouraging and building one another up is an essential part of being ready for the return of Jesus. But of course, the first and most important step to be ready is to repent and place our faith in Christ. No matter who you are, God loves you and He has made a way for you to be forgiven of your sins. We've all sinned. And sin cuts us off from God. In fact, when we're in our sin, the Bible says we're spiritually dead. And God is spirit, so if we're spiritually dead, we're cut off from God. We can't communicate with God. And so, through Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to earth, and He lived a sinless life, and then He went to the cross, and He took our place. He carried the penalty of sins that we deserved. He paid the price for us. And now when we place our faith in Him, and we repent of our sins, and the word repent simply means to turn away from. It means we realize we were headed in the wrong direction. We were headed away from God, living life our way, according to our will. And we make a U-turn. That's what repentance is, making a U-turn and saying, God, forgive me for living life my way without regard for you. And Lord, now I turn to you in faith and I welcome you into my life. I ask you to forgive me. The moment you do that, Jesus says you become born again. You're made spiritually alive and you become a child of God. You're brought into right relationship with God. And that's the beginning of a wonderful lifelong journey of learning to love and serve the Lord. And so when you do that, that is the beginning of a new life in Christ. And that is the first step to being ready for the Lord's return. And if you would like today to receive Jesus as your Savior, to repent of your sins and place your faith in the Lord and become a child of God, then I want to encourage you to pray together with me. It may be the first time you're praying this prayer, or it may be the first time in a long time. Maybe you prayed it at one time in the past and you've drifted away and you can feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit at your heart saying that you need to recommit yourself to the Lord. And so I want to encourage you to pray this prayer together with me. Just mean it in your heart and the Lord is going to do exactly what you ask Him to do. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I confess that I'm a sinner. I repent. I turn away from my life without you. I ask you to forgive me, and I turn to you in faith. I give you my life. I invite you to come, live inside of me, take control, and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you just prayed that prayer and meant it, I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life and for receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. This day is your spiritual birthday. This is the beginning of a brand new life in Christ, and I welcome you to the family of God. If you just prayed that prayer, then I want to encourage you in the comments to just type the words, I prayed. I prayed. Why? Because we want to send you a free e-booklet to help you get started on your journey with the Lord, because that prayer was not an end, it was a beginning of a lifelong journey with the Lord. And we have to grow in our relationship with the Lord just like we grow in any other relationship. And this little booklet, it's very short, it will help you to set a foundation to know the steps that you need to take to continue growing in your relationship with the Lord. And so, if you would, just type in the comments right now, I prayed, and later today we're going to send you a link. Just click on that link, fill in your name and your email address so that we can send you this e-booklet free of charge. But until then, let me give you three quick steps that will help you get started in growing in your relationship with the Lord. First, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. You don't need any special language. You can talk to him as you would to a friend. Begin by thanking him. We should always start our prayers by thanking God. Thank him for the good things in your life. Thank him for life itself. It's a blessing from God. Thank him for every blessing, for provision, for everything that he has blessed you with. And then invite him into your day to help you with whatever challenges or situations you may be facing. And if you're struggling in an area of your life, particularly something that maybe God is showing you that needs to be changed, then ask him to help you to change in those areas. That's prayer. Then let God talk to you every day. And the number one way that God talks to us is through the Bible, his word, his message to us. And if you don't have a Bible, then I encourage you to download on your phone or your tablet the YouVersion app. It's free of charge. You can read the Bible right there, and it's got lots of other wonderful resources such as short Bible studies and devotions that you can do. But download the YouVersion app, and then I encourage you to start your Bible reading in a book in the New Testament called 1 John. It's just 5 short chapters, but it tells us who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And each day before you read, just ask the Lord, God, help me to understand what you're saying and what you're saying to me. And just read 5 or 6 verses and then stop for a moment and listen. It's good even to have a journal or notebook and just write down whatever is being impressed upon your heart. And then the third thing that you need to do is to get connected to a local church body, which has been what we've been talking about in our message today. Because through being involved in a local church, we are encouraged and uplifted and built up by one another. And others help us along the journey. They help us to know how to apply God's word to our life and live out our faith. And we always have that support network there for us in our journey. So we encourage you to get connected to a local body. If you're in the South Florida area, then we encourage you to continue tuning in to our live streams as often as you can during the week. And once we are able to meet again in person, then we invite you to join together with us in person. If you're outside of the South Florida area, then we encourage you to find a local Assembly of God church in your area and get plugged in there. At this time, you know, we want to turn now to those who are already believers. And I want to say, for those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, we have been given the wonderful privilege of being a part of the family of God. I want to ask you, do you value that wonderful blessing of being a part of his church? Are you vitally connected to the body of believers? Are you faithfully committed to the fellowship of believers? And are you using your gifts to encourage and build up the body? Jesus died for his church. That's how much he loves and values the church, that he gave his life for us. And the same way Jesus values the church, we should value the church as well. So let's recommit ourselves to belonging to, participating in the life of, and serving the wonderful grace gift of the church, the body of Christ. And as we close in prayer, I want to encourage you to consider making a commitment during this time where we're not able to meet, to call 3 people during the week to encourage them and to pray for one another. That's a practical action step that we can take, because so often, you know, we pray and then we forget the message and we go on and there's no change. But I want to give you a practical action step that you can say, okay, this is how I can tangibly apply the message to my life this week. So I want to encourage you to make a commitment to call 3 people each week in the coming weeks through this crisis, and just encourage one another and pray for one another. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you right now for the wonderful blessing, the wonderful gift of the body of Christ. What a privilege it is to be able to be a part of the fellowship of the saints, Lord God. It has brought such strength and encouragement to each of our hearts, Lord God. Father, as we stand before you today, we just renew our commitment to the church. We renew our commitment to the body of Christ. Lord, the church is a blessing that so often we took for granted when we could meet anytime we wanted to. But let us just grow in the way that we value the privilege and blessing of the body of Christ. And Father, let us do everything that we can in our power to help build together with you. You've called us your partners in building the church. So help us to partner together with you to build up this local body of believers, Lord God. And Father, as we stand before you today, we make a commitment to, in a practical and tangible way, go about building up your church during this time by making 3 phone calls a week to someone within the body of Christ to help encourage, inspire, and uplift them, and to pray for one another. Father, we pray as we make this commitment that your Holy Spirit would remind us during the week, that you would just prompt us to call and to reach out to these 3 people, Lord God, that we might be a blessing to them. And we know that even as we are a blessing to them, you will turn it to be a blessing to us.